Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, you've seen the headlines on biznews.com, watched and listened to the interviews on BizNews TV and BizNews Radio. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Monday, the 12th of January, 2026. Glad to have you with me. Well, we've got some pretty insightful writers sharing their wares with us on BizNews today. And a lot of the attention is what is going on in Southern Africa, starting off with the FT's piece in Mozambique, where they had an interview with Venancio Mondlane. Venancio Mondlane is the opposition leader in Mozambique who believes that the election was stolen from him. In 2024, 300 people were killed in the unrest that followed that, and Mondlane himself left the country. But he's back. He's now building for the next election, and he believes that it is the time for liberation movements to get their comeuppance on this continent, as has happened elsewhere in the world. He specifically mentioned South Africa, Angola, and Zimbabwe. Well, we know what's going on in South Africa at the moment, but Angola is a little bit of a mystery to most South Africans, not so much anymore. Greg Mills and Ray Hartley have gone over to Angola, done quite a lot of work there, and attended the conference of the main opposition to the MPLA ruling party. That party, well known to South Africans, is UNITA. UNITA used to be led by Dr. Jonas Savimbi, who was one of the original freedom fighters in Angola. UNITA and the MPLA were both aligned with communist ideals. And then MPLA was backed by Russia and Cuba, and UNITA had to look elsewhere for its succor and received support from the Americans and apartheid regime. So many South African boys at the time were sent into Angola to fight with UNITA. There is an absolutely brilliant miniseries on Showmax called The Unspoken War, which documents that time. If you haven't seen it and you are of that generation, it is something that will stir memories but also open up avenues of insights that I'm pretty sure you weren't aware of, or certainly I was not aware of them, and a lot of them as well. It is a brilliant series, and what Mills and Hartley found in Angola is very interesting in the context of where that country comes from. To begin with, the UNITA fighters, or those who fought against the MPLA, were hunted down and killed, and they had to leave. And it's interesting, in that Unspoken War documentary, the note that comes in towards the end of it is how some of those UNITA fighters had joined 3-2 Battalion, which was a crack force of the apartheid regime. And when that was all disbanded after the 1994 election in South Africa, they joined Executive Outcomes, which was the mercenary, well-known mercenary body that fought many wars on the African continent. So it is interesting that we've seen this development from 1975, when Angola got its independence, and similarly the same year that Mozambique got its independence, to today, 50 years later, where reality seems to be dawning on what economic systems work and how the elites of liberation parties in those two countries have actually ripped the system. There's a similar reality that seems to be dawning here in South Africa. And it's almost like the liberation movements cannot break with the past and cannot break with what it is politically anyway that has got them into power. And here in South Africa, we're seeing that as well with the adherence to the National Democratic Revolution years after its sell-by date. But The stories that we have on BizNews today from both Mozambique and Angola suggest that it's only a matter of time before common sense actually prevails. Interestingly enough, in Angola, the next election is 2027, and there, also, just like Modlani, an engineer, this time an electrical engineer, is leading the charge. Alberto Costa is the leader of UNITA. Mills and Hartley were in the hall to see the voting for the leadership, and he got 90% of it, beating Raphael Savimbi, one of 30 children fathered by Dr. Jonas Savimbi. Interesting story all round and something to watch closely. UNITA's definitely got the momentum in the 2022 election. MPLA apparently got 51.2% of the vote. UNITA 44% of the vote. Of course, the big question is whether that was a stolen election in the same way as Mondlane says it, the election in 2024 was stolen by the incumbents in Mozambique, or whether MPLA will be prepared to let go of power in 2027. Lots happening in our region, not least in the here locally in the 2026 election, and we've got quite a bit of focus on that on BizNews today. Great stories, get informed. Also today, two really good writers, John Authors, who's recognized as one of the very best of the Bloomberg columnists, has had a look at the New World Order and the way that Trump is almost fulfilling the predictions that George Orwell made in 1984, where he spoke about the world being broken up into three totalitarian states, Oceania, Eurasia, and East Asia. Well, we can't make that kind of a call now, but it is looking decidedly like there's something afoot after what Donald Trump did in Venezuela on whatever, I suppose you could say, rational reasons for doing it. There you have a illegitimate regime that steals elections, punishes its people, getting into the narco trade. I had an opportunity to talk to someone who's very close to the underworld, the parallel economy. And there's no question in this guy's mind that a lot of the drugs that are being funneled into South Africa and from here to other parts of the world do come from Venezuela and are part of a national money-making racket by those who are in charge there. So there are lots of reasons why regime change in Venezuela was required, but the way that Trump's been going about it is something that is giving everyone pause. And those parallels with George Orwell's 1984 are looking very clear to people who want to view it that way. There's another piece by Barry Wood. I've known Barry for many years. He knows South Africa really well. He got his start in journalism at the Financial Times under George Palmer, an incredible publication back in the 60s when it began in the early 70s. Indeed, I worked for a number of the early editors or writers at the Financial Mail who worked for Palmer. Richard Rolfe, who was my editor at Finance Week, the late Alan Greenblow, Richard Stewart, who went into making a big name for himself in stockbroking with Martin & Co. They were among those who worked for George Palmer, as did Barry Wood. And Barry went from there to work at very senior positions in many publications around the world. And he's written a column which talks about the assaults on the world's law and order-based system, and that too is on BizNews today. I'd just like to remind you that we are back on television this evening with ENCA. That's at 7:30, so there is some appointment-focused viewing for you today. Switch on at 7:30 and you'll get the latest insight on the BizNews briefing. And outside of that, well, I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.